We're going to be here in Mark chapter 1, the passage that Gene just read for us, the end of that chapter. Leprosy was no doubt the cancer of the first century, only worse, because the prospects for the cure of cancer were so limited. And it was such a horrible disease. It was disfiguring. It was painful. But the worst part of it was that it alienated all of its sufferers from normal society. Lepers were placed outside of the city in special colonies where they would die together. In the moment a person was diagnosed with this dread disease, they no longer knew the comfort of a human touch. A mother could no longer caress her children or be held by them. All social contact came to an immediate end as that leper prepared to progressively die over the next few years in solitude with others who also had that disease. The law was very clear. If you had leprosy, you could not come near anyone who was whole. And so they were required to shout out at a distance. If they were on the road and they saw someone coming toward them, they had to identify themselves as lepers by shouting out the word, unclean. And then all those who were well knew to take a wide berth around this person so they would not come in contact with them. This account is a remarkable one of a man with leprosy. He came right up to Jesus and fell on his knees before him. Perhaps in doing that, he was flaunting social contact in this desperate attempt to have the disease removed by Jesus. No doubt he had heard that Jesus had been healing people of all kinds of diseases in this area around the Sea of Galilee. And as Mark describes this encounter between a leper and Jesus, he gives us a detail that he will mention several times in his gospel. When Jesus saw this man, Mark tells us that Jesus was filled with compassion. I believe if we had been standing there that day, and as we had heard this leper cry out to Jesus, if we had been watching the face of Jesus, we would have seen the tenderness come into his eyes. And we would have seen the compassion that just welled up within him as his heart reached out to this poor individual. And I think we can be just as certain that the crowds that were traveling with Jesus must have drawn back in horror as they began to widen the circle and give this leper all the room that they could give him. And then Jesus does the unthinkable. And the crowds must have gasped as Jesus not only took a step forward towards this man, but as he reached his hand out and with his bare hand he touched that leprous skin. But as Jesus touched that skin, healing took place instantaneously in his body. Now, there are some amazing truths in this little short account. This is not the only account in which Jesus would heal the disease of leprosy. But there's some amazing things. While that crowd must have initially turned away in disgust from this man and his disease, Jesus not only steps forward, but he reaches out willingly and compassionately, and he places his hand on that man. And I know in this group that there are diseases that are unseen. We talk about and we pray about and we acknowledge many of the physical diseases that we all have and that are ongoing as a part of life. Not as often do we talk about the spiritual diseases that are just as prevalent and far more lethal because human diseases can only take our life. Spiritual diseases can rob us of an eternity with God. And I would imagine that if we were to be completely transparent today and open up our lives and open up our hearts, that there would be some diseases of the soul that would cause some of those around, some of our members here, to turn away in disgust. But I'll tell you this morning, there is no disease of the soul that will make Jesus turn away in disgust. He already knows every battle that's being fought. He already knows every trap that Satan has laid and been successful in each of our lives. Jesus knows that. And Jesus reaches out just like he did to that leper, and he'll still touch you, and he'll still love you, and he'll still help you no matter what it is you struggle with. And I know that there are probably some that are so deeply mired in what this world says is a hopeless situation that maybe some of you have even been given up on by your families. And they've consigned you to a spiritual leper colony. But I'll tell you again, Jesus will never do that. Jesus never calls any situation a hopeless situation. This morning, before we shared together in the Lord's Supper, this passage was read for us, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. We know that's true, don't we? I mean, we can pick out some good guys here. Jeff Klein's a good guy. But if we had Jeff stand up here and said, Jeff's going to have to take a bullet unless somebody else will take it for him, I suspect that Angie would be willing to do that. Kendall might be willing to do that. But there are going to be a lot of people here today. If you were asked, would you die in Jeff's place? You'd say, well, I've got responsibilities with my own family. Very rarely will anyone die for a good man. Though sometimes they will. But when Jesus came, he was not asked to die for a good man. He was not asked to die for a righteous individual. He was asked to die for ungodly wretches who were undeserving. Now, who dies for people like that? There's only one I know of, and his name's Jesus. Copernicus's epitaph reads thusly, O Lord, the faith that you gave to St. Paul, I cannot ask. The mercy you showed to Peter, I dare not ask. But Lord, the grace you showed to that dying robber, Lord, show that to me. You see, it's not just the good guys that Jesus died for. He died for the bad guys. And we're the bad guys. Jesus extends his healing hand to you at your worst possible moment. And not only does he extend that hand and touch us at our worst, he provides the cure for our spiritual diseases. From unclean to be clean. And immediately, Mark says, the leprosy left him. And if you're battling some hidden leprosy of the soul, something which left unchecked will eventually destroy your relationship with God, let me tell you this morning, Jesus offers healing from all the diseases of the soul. And if you are battling some hidden addiction or some destructive habit in your life, you don't have to fight that battle alone. Jesus will fight it with you. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:4. He said, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. When we go to battle with Satan, let me tell you, he's too powerful for any conventional weapons in this world. You can't use hand grenades or machine guns on him. We don't fight with the weapons of the world, Paul says. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We have the power of Jesus Christ. We have the great physician to provide healing in our souls. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. God's power is greater than Satan's power. The one in us is greater than anything Satan can do. Are you sin sick? Are you worn out and weary? Then turn it over to the only one who can provide healing. That's the great physician. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. No, he loves us at our worst, and he cures us of every disease of the soul. But let me tell you how he does that. In doing that, Jesus shares in our suffering. You know, when Jesus reached his hand out that day to the utter amazement of the crowd, and when he leaned over and that man who was kneeling on the ground, when he actually touched him with his bare hand, there was no danger in Jesus contracting leprosy. Now that crowd all thought, you're going to get leprosy if you do that. But the power of Jesus in his healing touch was greater than the power of that disease. You know, when Jesus healed other people, he wasn't in danger of contracting their diseases. But let me tell you, when Jesus heals us of our spiritual diseases, something different happens. We are cleansed, and we are washed, and we are made whole by his healing touch. But when Jesus touches us in our sins, he does so at an awful, awful price. You see, when Jesus touched us in our sin, he allowed the pain of our sin and the sorrow of our sin and the shame of our sin to flow from ourselves onto him. Peter described it like this in 1 Peter 2:24. He said of Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Jesus became our substitute on the cross. You know, there are some things that we can do in this world. I can just give advice to someone about how to do this or that. But there are some jobs. If you're going to help someone rebuild a motor on a car, you can't just do that from a sanitary distance. You're going to have to get in there and you're going to have to get dirty with them as you're taking that thing apart and putting it back together again. And Jesus couldn't just stand at a sanitary distance and say, you're forgiven. He had to come down into this world and he had to get on that cross and he had to bear our sins. He had to get dirty in the process of making you and I clean. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21 of Jesus, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. No, Jesus could touch a man's eyes and give him sight without risking his own vision. Jesus could rebuke a demon and that demon would flee, and there was no danger that that demon would come into Jesus the way it went into that herd of pigs on one occasion. Jesus could stand at a tomb like he did at the tomb of Lazarus and cry out, Lazarus, come forth, with no risk of losing his own life. But when it came to sin, everything was different. Jesus could not cure man of his sin problems with just a word or just a touch. The only way Jesus could cleanse you and could cleanse me was to take on my sin in his body on the tree. Jesus had to bear our sins. He had to bear our stripes. He had to bear our punishment. Jesus didn't have to become a leper to cure a leper, but Jesus had to bear my sin in order to make me free of sin. That's why he wept in the garden. That's why he begged his Father, if it's possible, please let this cup pass from me. And that's why Christianity is unique among world religions. Let me tell you, Christianity is not just another world religion. Christianity is different in remarkable ways from every religion on the face of this earth. In every other world religion, you have gods that are distant from humankind. It was that way back in the time of the Romans. All the Roman gods, and before them the Greek gods, and they lived in transcendent glory up in the heavens. And they didn't associate themselves with the suffering and the pain of mankind. Today, you can travel to the Far East, and you can look at Buddha, and you can look at all the Eastern religions, and they all have transcendent gods. They're gods that are far above all the world. Gods that do not associate themselves with the suffering of humankind. Have you ever seen the statue of Buddha sitting there with his big belly and with that little smile on his lips? I mean, he has moved into the zone of freedom from all things earthly. He's totally removed from human suffering. And I'll tell you today that all the Eastern religions and all the gods of the world religions who live apart from human suffering are the opposite of the Christian God who embraces human suffering. We have a God who came down into this world and got himself dirty. He got in the trenches beside us and he went through everything we went through and he suffered like we suffer and he knows how we feel. He experienced the losses that we feel and he went to the cross so you and I would not have to. There's no God like that. No God. No religion that even comes close to the God we worship and the Savior we adore. Today, that blood of the Lamb is available and it has the power to cleanse the vilest sinner. There is no sin that anyone here has ever committed that cannot be cleansed spotlessly by the blood of Jesus Christ. We sing that song, there's power in the blood, and we never sang words that are any more true than that. There is unbelievable power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse every spot and every stain. Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And I tell you today, Jesus wants to do with everyone here spiritually what He did with that leper physically. He wants to touch you and He wants to cleanse you. And He wants to wash you with the power of His blood. If you've never submitted to Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus Himself said, He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And if you're willing to do that, He will touch you and He will cleanse you. If you're here today and you were baptized years ago and maybe you've not lived like you ought to live, Jesus wants you back home. He wants to touch you too. He wants to cleanse you anew. And that powerful blood can wash away every sin. If today you're willing to say what that man did, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus will be compassionate towards you. And He'll reach out and He'll touch you in the same way He touched that man. If you need to come this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.